Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, hour number two as we roll along this morning. Happy Wednesday to you, Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. And we're also going to get into Ben Simmons and James Harden as they have landed now in new locations, both introduced yesterday. For Ben Simmons, it's another opportunity for him to showcase some talent. He has great defensive skills, but in Philadelphia, he just wasn't the go-to guy. He shrunk in the largest moment. Does that change working with Kevin Durant? And does he get a new life in terms of his public image while in Brooklyn? He is dealing with some mental health issues, but we in the sports world haven't really come to grips with how to handle that with our athletes. We kind of ask athletes to perform all the time at our leisure, at our pleasure, and when they don't, we kind of criticize them for it. You know, the Simone Biles issue in the Olympics last year wasn't as easy as it was made out. She really struggled, didn't want to compete, and then people did get on her for that. But Ben Simmons, because of what we saw in the postseason last year, is getting even more scrutiny. But here's a chance for him not to be needed as a superstar. He can't shoot. He won't have to. He just has to play the defense that he is capable of playing. He's a very good defensive player. And in James Harden's case, this is the third team now in two seasons. Got out of Houston, went to Brooklyn. It didn't work. Now he's in Philadelphia. He needs to make this work. You don't want to be bouncing around the league looking for your opportunity. James Harden didn't like playing in Brooklyn, and there were a couple of reasons for that. One, I don't think he liked Kyrie Irving not getting vaccinated and being part of what they were trying to do. But in the end, I just think he saw the writing on the wall and said, look, I got to get out of here. I said this last week, and it's worth repeating. This is a league, and if you follow the NBA kind of loosely, maybe you're a big NFL person and you follow the NBA a little bit, this is so different than in the NFL. When a player wants out in the NFL, they almost have zero leverage to do so. But in the NBA, you end up getting all your wishes granted because owners can get value for you, especially if you're a star like James Harden. You can complain and look terrible in the media and whine and have people comment on you and say they'll never watch you again. And all of those things are true. But in the end, these players get what they want because in the end, the owners go, but I can get a lot for this individual. And they do. All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up next, we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb time here on a Wednesday as we've reached the midweek version, but it doesn't really matter where this lands because it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. What's the good of the day?
Sometimes you have a good that just actually might be great.
Oh, I love it. I like it.
Yeah, you'll appreciate this. So Dan Marino and Jim Kelly were using Twitter the right way.
Oh, okay.
In offering up their, not really in condolences, but words of encouragement to one Joe Burrow.
Oh, good.
So here's what Dan Marino tweeted. Don't be discouraged, Joe Burrow. I also came up short in the Super Bowl my second year. You have the rest of your career to never make it back.
That had to have been so frustrating for Marino, man.
And Jim Kelly also responded. He responded to Dan Marino's tweet. Exactly, Joe. I also lost my first Super Bowl, but the next year we made it again. We lost that one, too. But then we made it again the very next season. We also lost that one. But then a season later, we were there again. Actually, how do I delete this?
Way to go, Jim Kelly. That's awesome. That is great.
Using Twitter the right way.
Dan Marino, that Super Bowl he was in January of 1985.
Yeah.
When did he retire? 98, 99,
something like that. Yeah. 90.
I mean, can you imagine all of those years and you don't go back to the Super Bowl?
I mean, could we see the same thing with Joe?
We could.
Because here's the deal, right? It wasn't that Dan Marino wasn't a good quarterback. It wasn't even the fact that the Dolphins were a good team. There were just other – there were better teams, better
That's
quarterbacks during
that
time frame.
That's why I'm telling people, be careful with the whole, oh, he'll be back. Yeah, yeah, but Josh Allen is in that conference, and Patrick Mahomes is still in there. Like, you don't –
You got Patrick
no –
and you got my boy. Why am I forgetting? Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert.
You know, he's going to be making noise soon.
Plus, whoever else is up and coming that comes into
this
league.
Are we to rule out Lamar Jackson again?
Kenny Pickett, when he comes to the Steelers and he leads them to four world championships, you got to account for that.
You got to account for that. I mean, that's just a given.
That's just a given. Oh, good.
But I mean, it is. But
that
it is true.
That division is going to be impossible.
That AFC. I mean, you think back to then. Like, who were the teams that kept making it year after year after year? I mean, you had the Bengals making it for whatever reason,
right?
During that time frame, you had the Raiders. You had the Broncos.
Bills.
I mean, it's just, you know, they're Dan Marino. It was just. All these juggernaut teams that just kept getting in the way.
Yeah, and that's
and one Patriots team that is largely forgettable.
But I it's one of those things you just got to be careful of. It's easy to do. It's a trap you can easily fall into.
Yeah,
because he's young and he's good and he's cocky and you're like, well, yeah. It's hard to not if the guy plays 15 years, it is hard to envision him not going. And look, Dan Marino. That doesn't happen all the time. It's an outlier a bit. If you're a good enough quarterback, you should make it. But Aaron Rodgers has only been to one, and so did Drew Brees. So those are other quarterbacks that played in the league a long time and have not gone back to the Super Bowl, right? Aaron Rodgers, he went, 11 years ago, 11 seasons ago, and is still yet to get back in there. So God bless him. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that the Super Bowl ratings are in.
And
it's estimated about 100, you know, more than 112 million people watched the Super Bowl.
Is that one of the higher ones?
I don't know. I don't know where that stands, but that's not why I'm bringing up the bad, because the bad of this is that Los Angeles didn't even make it in the top 10.
I know. I saw this. What the hell is going on with this?
No surprise. Cincinnati was number one. I'm not even that surprised that Detroit was number two on this list. It is surprising that L.A. didn't even crack the top 10.
Yeah, Robert just sent me a clip on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's, on a clip saying the Detroit ratings were huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just like, let's watch Matt
Stafford. Are they living vicariously through Matt Stafford? Like,
possibly.
He won a Super Bowl. It means we won one.
Yeah. In L.A., is this a protest against the Rams? People in L.A. watch the Super Bowl with it in it back?
Maybe everyone was having Super Bowl parties, and so that kind of limited the amount of TVs that were on at that time. I don't know.
It counts for that, though. There's something that they allow for that process.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You were in the belly of the beast last week, right? So you were going to and from Media Center in the middle of the Super Bowl, all of that. But you also lived there and probably got out and about outside of your duties. Was there a buzz in the city for the Super Bowl outside of the belly of the beast that you were in?
No. Yeah. The only thing that I really saw were the buses. You know how the city buses, and they had that electronic marquee above the in their like just above the front window.
Right.
Every once in a while I saw a bus that had Go Rams.
Okay.
But I really didn't see Ram fever anywhere throughout L.A. I mean, you know, sure, I would see it closer down to the convention center where Radio Row was. But even then, I didn't really see it that much.
Wow.
You know, I mean, the people were selling Super Bowl gear. They were just trying to make a buck. But, I mean, yeah, anywhere I drove, I didn't really – no one was wearing or having Ram flags in their car like they always do with, like, you know, they'll have Laker flags in their – you know, those window flags that go up temporarily when your team's in the playoffs or whatnot. Right. I didn't see any of that.
It's so baffling that the city, hosting the game, the team from the city is in the game, and they're not even in the top 10?
They're not even in the top 10.
Like, that's insane. Like, I saw Jacksonville was in the top 10.
Yeah.
Like, how do you beat?
That is.
I wonder, look, I get that they're. Look, this stadium is beautiful. They got two people now in it. you let it play out. You play the long game if you're Kroenke in the NFL. But right now, they've got to be thinking, why isn't this working? I guess they'll analyze that, but that's amazing to me. It's like, whatever.
And so. Again, that's why, I mean, I tell people this all the time. I mean, the only true fan that goes to games nowadays are Dodger fans.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's affordable.
Right, because Laker tickets aren't affordable.
There's a lot of Laker fans. I'm not going to discredit that there's Laker fans all throughout the city. But they can't get into the game.
Right.
And the fans that do get into the game are really there more as a status symbol than it is to, like, let me scream my head off.
Right.
You know, it's a, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I got tickets to the Laker game. See you there, Johnny. You know, I mean, it's that type of feeling instead of, you know, real fandom.
Yeah, all right,
the Rams could be the same way.
What is the dumb of the day?
Conference USA released their 2022 football schedule,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, I saw this story yesterday.
Which included three teams who have already informed the conference they are not going to be participating with them next season.
Somebody not get the memo?
I guess not.
So how does this work?
Or are they just ignoring it? Like, you know, let's just release a schedule anyways. Maybe they'll change their mind.
Right. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. Like, we'll release the schedule, and maybe you'll look at it and go, well, maybe I'll just stick around.
One more season. Look at that.
Right?
So
maybe that was it. That's a good – I didn't even think of that possibility. I thought this was just ridiculous, but you might be right. That might be the strategic element behind this.
Maybe. But last week, Marshall, Southern Miss, and Old Dominion formed Conference USA that they will be leaving at the end of the semester in June and joining the Sun Belt Conference.
Which is a good conference, by the way.
Yeah.
But still.
But Conference USA still went ahead and it's like, we're still going to schedule games.
Crazy.
Which I can't remember which team I saw. It was somebody who, you know, posted their schedule and they, you know, did that whole text message guy with, you know, the arms up in the air, like, I don't know, you know, using dash marks and stuff. I didn't get that at first. I said, I must have missed when they said they were leaving the conference. And
Right. Now
thinking back on it, like, oh, that makes sense. Because, yeah, you don't know if you have you might have three byes this week.
That's true.
Or this season.
Golly, good old Conference USA. Yeah. The Sun Belt's actually pretty good. The Sun Belt football, that's the conference with Coastal Carolina. Remember over the last couple of years, like the Chanticleers were there? And Louisiana when Billy Napier was there, and they were in the top 25 a couple of times. It's not a bad conference, but that's funny. I mean, just please stay. We got a home for you. Please. That's great.
We'll make it worth your while.
Yeah, right. What if you're Marshall and you're like, that's not a bad schedule. It's kind of easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, with Southern Miss and Old Dominion gone.
Yeah, right.
But I've never known Old Dominion to be a football powerhouse.
No, I don't remember them that either. They're the Monarchs out of Virginia. But, yeah, I don't remember, you know, I don't figure them to be much of a.
So, yeah. So, I mean, if you're a Conference USA fan, like, you know, we have SEC fans out there. Stay tuned. There's probably another schedule coming out your way.
I'm at an age now where I'm not going to be able to keep up with all this stuff. You know that?
No, it's already done.
Like when I was younger, I could remember all this stuff. Now I can barely remember like what I had for breakfast. Now I'm supposed to remember where Marshall is going to play football. Like it's hard enough. Like everybody, calm down for a bit. Let's just catch up. Like when is Oklahoma and Texas supposed to be in the SEC in a couple of years? A year or two? Like when is
and
that
Cincinnati and Houston are moving to the Big 12?
Yeah,
is that now?
Well, is that tomorrow? Like, tomorrow? When is that happening? Right? Aranda just signed a contract extension to stay at Baylor through 2029. Does he even know who's playing? Like, does he even know what the conference is going to look like?
Does he even know what conference he's going to be in?
Right. Right, exactly. He's like, well, I'll just hang on to Baylor no matter where we go.
Baylor will be in the Pac-12 two seasons from now.
Yeah, wherever we land, I'll be here. Don't think I'm leaving like Lincoln Riley. I'm not taking off. For easier pastors.
I didn't need to leave my team to join the Pac-12. I just took my team with me.
I just took the team with me, exactly. I'm not afraid of whatever conference we get landed in, unlike some other coaches in the conference.
I will say this, though. I mean, at least the Big Ten stays true to itself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you kind of know where the Big Ten is. Like, they're all those teams are right there.
They're right there. They're Midwest.
I mean,
linebacker, offensive line.
Yeah, at this
vision,
point,
cold weather.
At this point, if USC, if Lincoln Riley and USC joined the SEC, would not be surprising.
No, not at all.
I'd be like, well, they are kind of They kind of are in southern L.A.
Yeah, right? That's exactly right. It's just going to be an, I really wonder what college football is going to like 15 years from now. Like, are they just going to just go, oh, it doesn't matter.
They're just going to do a super conference.
Southeastern Conference is just a name. It has no bearing whatsoever. We got a team in got a team in New York. We got a team in L.A. now. It's like,
might as well call it the Norris Division.
Why not? Just come up with names.
Norris Campbell Conference.
We'll pick like five or six of the greatest college football players of all time. That's the conference names.
Or coaches. Why not coaches? You know, we'll have the Bowden and the Wooden.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Because that's the way it seems like the sport is heading now. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Coming up, we're going to continue our grades for the AFC. We're going to go to the AFC South next. It's report card day today and tomorrow on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Today we're giving out grades to the NFL teams for their season. We're basically looking at their record and performance, weighing that against expectations. Did they live up to it? Did they underachieve, overachieve? You know, it's not just like we're not giving A's to the teams that like made the playoffs and F's to those who finished last. Like if you were not expected to do much, but you did a little better, then you could get a B, you know, for your season. So we're working on the AFC today. Tomorrow we'll do the NFC. You can also chime in with your grades on various teams on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. You can hit us up on Facebook, Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver. Let us know what you think. So we're in the AFC South now, and we're going to start with the team that was the number one seed in the AFC, and that's Tennessee. I'm going to give the Titans an A-. And you would think, why an A-? I mean, they were the number one seed, and they played well without Derrick Henry. I think the loss to Cincinnati hurts them. I think it takes them down a little bit. This should be an A-plus season. I mean, Mike Vrabel was coach of the year. They were fantastic all season long, really. They had a couple of stretches where they didn't play particularly well. The game against Houston and Nashville, what they lost, was messy. It was wet. They turned the ball over five times. They turned the ball over a bunch against the Patriots. Lost to Pittsburgh, same thing. But overall, I mean, you're going to have games that are not where you're not your best. But they overcame all of it. And more importantly, they overcame losing Derrick Henry after week eight. And Dante Foreman and Damian Hillard both were fantastic out of the backfield for the Titans. They worked around that. Ryan Tannehill was good. But the loss to Cincinnati was bad. It was bad because it was home. It was you got a bye week. You turned the ball over three times. You got to Cincinnati nine times. You sacked them nine times. And you're home. You win that game. And the reason you didn't win that game is because you had three turnovers. So I'm going to give you an A-, because I think the playoff loss hurts them.
Nah, that's a perfect grade for them. Because it is, for me, I'm shocked how well they did after Derrick Henry went down. I wrote their season off.
I did too.
I said there's no way Ryan Tannehill, maybe they find a back way into the playoffs just because you look at the rest of the conference, it's like, well, I mean, you know, it's pretty much given to them because the other three teams aren't that great.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, I mean, the fact that they, and, you know, and let's be honest, they never felt like a number one seed.
No, they didn't. That was the problem, right? That they were vulnerable because you would say, well, they're not Patriots good. They're not Patrick Mahomes good. Like what we've seen from the AFC for the last number of years. So we never felt like the Titans were the upper echelon of the conference. It's just the way their schedule and their wins and losses panned out for them that allowed them to have this spot. But yeah, they were more of a two or three seed playing at the one. But to get the bye, to get home field, to have already figured out and get Derrick Henry back. But so you figured out how to play without him. Now you're going to play with him. And for them to lose to Cincinnati with all of those things, you got to notch, you got to bring them down a little bit.
Especially the nine sacks.
Yes, the nine sacks.
I mean, I don't know how you can't lose a game.
When you're controlling you sack the guy line nine of times. Scrimmage like that, you can't lose games like that. Indianapolis. I'm going to give him an Indianapolis a C-. Because it was so disappointing how it ended. They played Arizona on Christmas Day. They beat Arizona, and they looked like one of the best teams in the AFC. They had won 6 of 7. They were 9-6, but they were a tough out. And all of a sudden, the conversation was, do you want to play this team with Jonathan Taylor? Carson Wentz is doing a pretty good job. They got an opportunistic defense. And then it all went to garbage. They lost at home to the Raiders. They needed to win against Jacksonville and couldn't. Not only did they got blown, they lost by 15 points, but it felt more than that. They were never in that game against Jacksonville. Never in that game. That's not a game that got away from them late. They were never in it. So I'm giving them a C-. That should have been a playoff football team. That was a team that, again, beating the Patriots, beating Arizona, those were two playoff teams. You shut out Houston, which is what you're supposed to do. They beat Buffalo convincingly. Remember, they destroyed Buffalo in November. Beat San Francisco, a playoff team. But how they closed out the season is unforgivable. To lose to Jacksonville when you need a win to make the playoffs, ridiculous.
Yeah. I almost want to penalize them even more.
Right.
It's like almost,
you want to give him a D?
Almost figuring like a D plus.
Go ahead. You be the tough
because loser. Because here's the other thing too, right? I mean, yeah, you lose to Jacksonville in a game that a throwaway game that you should win because Jacksonville is a dumpster fire. I'm going to give you the D plus also because you had the MVP on your team,
right?
And so many times throughout the season, you decided not to use him,
right?
In a game, which I agree. Unless there was an injury that was never divulged to us about him, or maybe he just said, nah, don't give me the ball. I'm just not feeling it today, coach. And we don't know those stories. Then, I could bump this grade up. But, I mean, there's like 2, 3, 4 games where you said, you know what? No, Carson Wentz will lead us this day.
That's right.
And Carson Wentz has never been the same ever since he broke his leg.
Nope, has not.
But you had Jonathan Taylor who... My God, he just ran all over the place all season long.
And again, you're right. When they needed something like that, they didn't utilize it. All right, let's go to Houston. All right, so Houston finished 4-13. All right, they're not getting an A, and they're not getting a B. Okay, could they get a C? Well, let's talk about this for a second. They didn't have Deshaun Watson the whole season. Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback when he plays. Good quarterback. The year before, they won 4 games with Deshaun Watson. Won 4-12. Without Deshaun Watson, they went 4-13, which is kind of like going 4-12. So, is that overachieving? And all of a sudden, have you noticed how much love Davis Mills was getting? How people were like, Davis Mills, look at him tear up the league in those final 5 weeks of the season. David Culley did a pretty good job here. I'm going to be generous, and I'm going to give him a C. They played hard, but they lost a lot of games. But they didn't lose a lot of games with a Pro Bowl-level quarterback. They lost it with Davis Mills. That's somewhat forgivable. I'll give them a C. That wasn't a very good season. But I'll give them average.
Nah, okay. I'm C-minus at best, but this is probably another team that I'm going to give a D-plus to.
Well, you're closer to this team and probably knew more in it, the ins and outs of what they were really dealing with.
Davis Mills... I'm not going to say it's a revelation, but that was a bright spot in this season.
Yeah.
He actually came around. He actually looked like a starting quarterback in the NFL. He looked like someone who could, be the placeholder for several years of, until they found that guy.
Yeah.
I don't see Davis Mills leading this team to a playoff anytime soon.
So you're going to go D?
I'm going D, and it really falls onto this, right? I mean, first of all, hiring David Culley to just kind of be, that guy this season was, it's a terrible look. Ownership is clueless. They're walking around with bags over their heads thinking everything is fine. They're like ostriches right now.
Right.
Which, by the way, I took your advice. Very funny.
Oh, very funny. Very funny, isn't it?
Side note, but, maybe it's an inside joke to us because we didn't talk about it on air. I can't really remember, but... very funny. But anyways, the Texans to be their ostriches this season because they just sucked their head in the ground and pretended like everything was okay.
Yep.
It looked like from the beginning of the season that they were just trying to get to the end of the season.
All right, we got to get to Jacksonville. Here's easy. It's easy. It's an F. It's an F. It's the reason Ron said it first, and then we said it all season. You never develop Trevor Lawrence. He never got better. as the season went on.
Never had that game.
Never had that game. And you hired Urban Meyer, which was an absolute dumpster fire. It was awful. The whole season was a mess. Yes, you had a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach, but you couldn't have orchestrated it any worse.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up in hour number three, we will talk to Patrick Stevens in Washington at the Washington Post on college basketball as we get closer and closer to conference tournament time. That is actually coming up in a couple of weeks. We've got a couple more weeks of the regular season, and that's it. So we'll talk to Patrick Stevens of the Washington Post. That's coming up at 40 past the hour. That is 1 hour from now. And then also in hour three, we're going to finish up the AFC grades. We're going to go through the AFC West. And I think it's going to take us a little bit more time because there were two playoff teams and there could have been three playoff teams.
You said that word. Should.
Should have been three playoff teams. Yeah, exactly. Sorry about that. There should have been three playoff teams.
Thank you.
So we'll get to those four coming up in hour number three. So yesterday, Brooklyn and Philadelphia introduced James Harden and Ben Simmons after the blockbuster trade last week. I have been asked probably three or four times by friends of mine here in Nashville that I hung out with for the Super Bowl and whatnot, what do you think of the Brooklyn-Philadelphia trade? First of all, and I make this clear, the friends who asked me about this don't really care about either team. No, they weren't even NBA fans. There was just this weird curiosity that they had because this trade that went far beyond basketball analytics, right? It was not a trade of like, well, Philadelphia could use a good distributing guard who can shoot. And you know what? Brooklyn needs a strong defensive player that is not going to need be necessary as much on the offensive end of the court. So this trade makes a lot of sense. No, the reason some of my buddies were interested in that trade is because there was something larger than that, than just the kind of breakdown of players, right? There was a tale of two guys, right? All of the players and add-ons that were part of the deal are irrelevant. What was most relevant? I mean, look, real quick. Andre Drummond gets you 9 rebounds a game. That's a great addition for Brooklyn. Seth Curry can shoot from the outside. That's a great addition for Brooklyn. But it's all about Ben Simmons. Same thing in Philadelphia. It's all about James Harden. But it goes larger than breakdown of pluses and minuses. The reason my friends here in Nashville that does not have an NBA team, in fact, the nearest NBA team is 3 hours away to Memphis and 4 hours away to Atlanta. The reason they were interested in it is because it was a story that, if you're a sports fan, it kind of went beyond the sport. This was a guy in James Harden that screamed, hollered, yelled, get me the hell out of Houston. And then they did, teamed him up in Brooklyn with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But, whoa, everybody's hurt all the time. And so they didn't get to play a lot of games together. He was hurt in the playoffs. They were eliminated in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference by Milwaukee. And then this year, because Kyrie is not getting vaccinated, he can't play at home. He can't play at the Garden. Harden is hurt. Durant is hurt. Again, all three of them aren't playing together. They only played 16 times. There's a level of frustration for James Harden because he's not happy there. So what did he do? He kind of went, can I get out of here, please? And Brooklyn's like, we just got you. And he's like, yeah, but I don't like it. And they went, oh, but you just got here. Yeah, but I want out. And they let him go to another team. Ben Simmons' situation was, I don't want to play here anymore. He didn't like what that team was doing to him mentally. Remember the giveaway? He had the layup and handed the ball off to a teammate? Like, you shoot this. I'm not shooting this. Right? He's dealing with what he says is, mental health issues. He wanted out. He wasn't going to play for Philadelphia. And Philadelphia went, okay. And then he was like, trade me. And they were like, not yet. It's like, I'm not playing for you. And Daryl Morey was like, yeah, we know, but not yet. And bided his time. So I think, again, and I'm not speaking for my, you know, friends, we talk sports a lot, but mostly college football, mostly things in Nashville. Titans and Alabama seem to be the number one things me and my friends talk about. But they were curious about this because I think it's larger than just a basketball trade. I think there's an image between these guys. As I said earlier, in the NBA, if you want out of your situation and you can handle the public scrutiny, you'll get out of your situation. There is some power there. You don't have to play. You can force a trade. You may have to deal with, again, the backlash that comes with it. Remember last week, Harden was like, he was really didn't want to say anything publicly because he was afraid, like, oh, this is the second team I've kind of tried to get out of in like 13 months. But you get what you want. Like, Daryl Morey wasn't going to pay Ben Simmons to sit there and do nothing because of punishment for acting like he was. That's not the way it works. But he was going to get rid of him if he could land a James Harden, which he did. Now, I think this is a win-win for both teams. I think it's a win-win. But Ben Simmons has a little bit more on his plate than James Harden does with him. James Harden is going to have to work with Joel Embiid, but Harden has worked with stars in the past. He played with Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City and Russell Westbrook in Houston. He's played with Durant again and Kyrie Irving only the 16 times that they played in Brooklyn. But that's all three. He's played with Kyrie. He's played with Kevin a variety of times since they've there. So he's used to that one superstar that he could add on, right? Chris Paul, remember that? Chris Paul was in Houston. So Harden's got that experience of playing with the megastar. Here's Simmons. Now, people are saying, well, he doesn't have to be the go-to guy. Durant will be the go-to guy. He doesn't want to score. He doesn't have to score. He's got to play good defense. The problem is I wonder how Ben Simmons deals with pressure. Because even though you're in Brooklyn and you're getting the limelight of New York City without the sort of scrutiny and microscopic look that the Knicks get on a night-in and night-out basis, make no doubt about it, Kevin Durant is not in Brooklyn to enjoy a little Madison Avenue, a little Times Square, and a little, you know, concrete jungle where dreams are made of, right? No. Kevin Durant wants to win another title. And that's why he went to Brooklyn. So if you're Ben Simmons, you better do whatever it is you do best to help Durant win a title. Because he's not exactly forgiving of teammates that don't help him do just that. He doesn't have a problem with a little bit of scrutiny for those who don't help him win that title. So Simmons is a fantastic defender of the basketball. He is great because he can guard every single position. He's 6'11 and can guard a wing. He can guard a post. He can guard every position on the court. And he's excellent at it. He's good off the ball. He's good on the ball, right? He is a really good defender. He just doesn't want to score. That's not his thing. So this is an upgrade in that regards. So I think if this is the player you get, where his role is get a couple of points, get some rebounds, but play defense. It's not his team. That's the great thing about it. He was the number one pick by the Sixers. And while you could look at Joel Embiid, it was supposed to be 1A and 1B. He's not even 1A, 1B on this team. That belongs to Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving when both are on the court. And Durant now hurt. It'll be a while before he gets back. But when he does get back, he's fresh. And Kyrie's situation is, you know, with the vaccine and not playing at home, an issue. But this is not Ben Simmons' team. The wins and losses are not on his shoulder every single night. And I think that's why Brooklyn is good with this trade. I think this trade makes sense. I personally think that the additions of Andre Drummond and Seth Curry are great additions to have, and I think this sort of edges me. I think Brooklyn wins out a little bit on this trade, but not by much. And on the flip side, Daryl Morey gets rid of a guy that he's paying to not play. He brings in James Harden, who he knows can play, although dealing with his hamstring issue, he'll when he finally makes his debut, and a complementary player to what Joel Embiid is doing on an MVP level. Philadelphia, though, needs to turn it around. Like I said earlier tonight, this morning, they got bombed last night by Boston. I mean, they got annihilated by Boston. And Boston's on a roll right now. But if this is going to work out, again, if this is going to work out for Philadelphia, where they become an Eastern Conference juggernaut down the stretch in mid-March to early April, and then where they are in the playoffs, then it's going to have to start getting to work pretty soon. I mean, it was 135 to 117. That's a 48-point victory by the Boston Celtics. I mean, that's insane. Celtics had over 100 points in the third quarter of the basketball game. But, again, good things are coming for Philadelphia with James Harden. I'm just more interested in Ben Simmons. What kind of fit will he be? What are they thinking about him? How will Steve Nash need him at times?
Will his mental health issues return?
Will his mental health issues return? Exactly. Like in a close game, do you want Ben Simmons on the court? Like it's a tie game with a minute left in a playoffs game three.
Yeah. Or is he just going to? Or is he just going to pass it to someone else?
Right. Right. You know. It's interesting. I mean, both teams are happy, right? They got rid of headaches, but you never know when you're happy with the non headache becomes a headache, right? But we'll see it. We'll see down the stretch. I mean, we'll see how Ben's, when he finally makes his debut with the Nets at some point, we'll see how that works. All right, it is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Patrick Stevens going to join us in hour number three. We'll talk college hoops with him as we get, again, closer to conference tournament time. By the way, do you play Wordle, Ron?
No.
Do you do that Wordle thing that everybody seems to be doing?
I haven't. Nope.
Do you know how it's played?
I know how it's played. I know what the game is.
I've given up. I used to play, and I've given up. And you know why I've given up? Because I'm embarrassed to say this, but I'll say it anyway. I just don't know a lot of five-letter words off the top of my head. I can't think of any. And if I, it's like Wheel of Fortune, but it's like the vocabulary is smaller, like the list is smaller, and you got to come up with it. But I didn't know what it was at first. And everybody was posting their Wordle graphs, and I'm like, what is this? And then I realized, oh, it's the latest thing we'll all be into. And then we all will stop doing. New York Times paid a lot of money for this, for the guy that kind of created this. But
yeah.
But if you, but it, no, these he things cashed have a in. Shelf life of like 6 months.
You remember last year it was around this time? I thought that 2021 was going to be the year of the sea shanty.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, I guess, right?
Yeah, right. But it's a, what do you call it? It's like a fad. Right?
No, it is. It's definitely a fad. Yeah. I don't even see it being posted that much anymore.
No. What happens is this. This is what happens on social media. Something catches fire. Everybody does it. Everybody posts it. And then what happens is everybody who originally posted stopped doing it, and they stop posting it. And then there's a lot of latecomers, and then they post it, but everybody tells them that they're past. They've left the window.
Like, or you get the complaining.
So February.
Yeah. Now it's up there with. Oh, you're posting your Wordle score? Let me post pictures of my kid.
Right.
You know, it's like compared to that now, it's like we're on to the next, whatever the next big thing is. We don't know what it is yet.
Right. So, you know, I'm glad we're all unified and playing. Like, remember Farmville and Sudoku and, you know, like all these things we used to all do online. And then we stopped doing them. And that's just the way it is. That's how it goes. We just stop doing these things. As a society. But I stopped because I'm dumb. I can't think of four-letter words.
Five-letter
words. Yeah. I get them and I go, oh, I can't do it. And then Wordle says, good try. You had six. Too bad. Here's the word. And I go, oh, that was easy. Why didn't I think of that? But I don't. I don't think of it.
You mean it's not sport every single time?
Yeah, I know, right? Sport. I should be using that. Yeah. Thanks, Ron Culver.
That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. You know?
I don't even know. I mean, I've never even tried it.
Yeah, it's, you know.
I mean, you're in Nashville. You're probably using Titan all the time.
That's another one. You should be playing this. I've never used Titan. Oh, my God.
Well, I think the idea is
how
not to
today?
Use.
Today?
Today.
Yeah. How about that? I start going through people's feeds to try to find four-letter words. It makes sense.
Five.
Again, five. Maybe that's the reason I stink at Wordle, because I think of four-letter words. Like, trick is a five-letter word, right?
And treat.
So is idiot. That's where I'm at right now. God. This stupid game. Stop being so addicting, Internet. God, what did I do before the Internet to pass the time away? Read books?
Wow.
Educate myself?
No.
What did I do?
Played Madden.
Played Madden. That's exactly right. It's amazing. You know, I tell people this all the time. When I was a kid, I used to collect baseball cards. I loved baseball cards. I used to love reading the back of baseball cards. And for whatever reason, remember when you'd look in the paper and your newspaper would give you like the batting leaders?
Yeah.
Right? They would give you like who's leading in home runs.
Of course.
Right? And I would, me and my brother would dive into
that. That's how I followed the summer of 98.
Right, sure.
Just every single morning, just looked at the back and it's like, all right, did McGuire get one? Did Sosa get one? Who got one?
My brother and I would dive into that. We would just know. Like, you could ask us at any day of the baseball season, who's leading home runs? And I'd be like, Eric Davis is 22. Today, I have it at on my phone, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, because I have access to it so quickly, I don't need to remember it or know it, when I used to know so much when I was younger without the instant access that I have now. It's an unbelievable phenomenon. Grades for the AFC West in college hoops next in Hour 3.